have to ensure that we are looking at this very carefully. And as I always said, it's almost like the lifeline of your growth in Christ. What I'm teaching you on currently, and what we're taking some time to have conversations on, is so key. You know what it means for a disciple not to listen to you. Let me say, a dishonorable disciple. It's like you're trying to teach them. And no, that's not. This revelation is old. Give me another revelation. I need another revelation. I already know this revelation. In fact, let me give you another revelation. It's very difficult when you deal with somebody, or when you're dealing with somebody who does not listen, right? And who does not have a very, reverential heart. Because to actually get what is taught is to model your heart in reverence towards receiving whatever it is you have taught, you're being taught, or whatever it is you're being taught. So that means that nobody is going to be truly successful without having or modeling that heart of reverence and honor. I told you that in honor, we're going to be honoring God. Yeah? We're also going to be paying attention to the Lord Jesus, who is God, right? Then ministers of the gospel, then fellow believers, right? So fellow believers will involve our parents, will involve children, will involve servants, will involve widows, will involve spouses, will involve masters. We're going to be paying attention to all of these people and making sure that there is that heart of reverence towards them. You see, a woman and a man should both have this heart in marriage. And I was in prayer this evening, and I kept on seeing some interesting... Let me not say it. Very interesting, but I think we're going to start having some very interesting things happening very soon. Not too long. It's going to be with you because you are the congregation and you are the flock, right? So it's imperative that, even within the context of marriage, the man is supposed to be submissive to the husband, to the wife, and the wife is supposed to be submissive to the husband. Ephesians 5 makes us understand that submitting yourselves one to another, it's actually one of the core fundamental virtues of a man that is full of the Spirit. In fact, in Galatians 5, you'll get to realize how that Paul tells us to redeem the time because the days are evil. Then he goes on to say, being filled with the Spirit of God, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts. Then he lays emphasis on how that we are supposed to ensure that we submit ourselves one to another. It means that it's truly a mark of a spiritual life or a spiritual man. There is not any spiritual man who is lofty in his thoughts or lofty in his ideas or lofty. You see that? You can't be full of the Spirit and be lofty. You know what it means to be lofty? It's to be high-minded. It's like anything everybody says should go down the drain. Only what I say stands out tall. That's wrong. Right? So the mark of a true spiritual man is that he is submissive. You can be able to be submissive. You see, if I teach you all of these things, and then I'm speaking now within the context of marriage, and you get into a marital home, and you find out that all the things that your pastor has taught you, you were never able to be. They are talking, and you are also up the roof. You can't even keep quiet. Let me say this very loud and clear. I should loud it, sound it very clear. If you are a feminist here, you are in the wrong place. I beg you, in the name of God, I don't support. And the Bible is not even me. The Bible does not support feminism. Bible teaches us to understand that the man is the head of the home. The word husband there is Lord. Now, that Lord obviously would not be that he sits on you and he rides over you. That's not what we're saying. It just means that when it comes to vital points in times where critical decisions are supposed to be taken and orders are supposed to be given and things are supposed to be looked in place, while you both come to a consensus, you should be able to understand that there is a leader in that place. So I don't support, somebody saying, they should go away. We are the same. Please, if you believe that I'm not your teacher, find somebody else that teaches you that. Maybe there are some other people that will teach you that. But me, I don't teach that. I don't teach that you're supposed to be loud and you don't listen to anything that anybody tells you to do. I don't teach that. So I've taught you by God's word that the man is what? The head of the home. I'm not saying the man is the head of the woman. Listen to me very carefully. Or let me say it like this. The husband is head over the wife and the home. I'm not saying the man is head over the woman. I'll say this again. The husband is head over the wife and the home. I'm not saying the man is head over the woman. So the man is not head over the woman. If you are not married to a woman, you are not head over her. If you're not married to a woman, you're not head over her. If you are married to her, then you are head over her. That's what the Bible teaches us. So women outside, you have that nobody is head over you. But when you get married to him, you are literally saying that is my Lord, and that's somebody I listen to, and that's somebody who can advise me. So somebody who is, yes, we have equal power. That's not what I'm saying, right? So we're going to have this honor, lingering in our relationships. In our relationships, when I say relationships, don't only think of whatever, boy, girl. No, I'm talking about relationships that affect every part of our lives. Relationship in our workplaces, relationship in our schools, relationship with our bosses. And this time I'm going to be actually speaking more on the honor in secular relationships. However, we're still going to be, beating around that same conversation we had a couple of days ago, right? So you're supposed to be able to pay attention. It is very vital. Very vital. Very vital. God is going to help you to be a man of honor and a woman of honor in Jesus' name. Yes, God's going to help you to walk in honor. So, like I said, it's honor to God in Christ or Christ, right? Then to ministers who he has ordained or ministers who he has called. Then to the family, the whole family, everybody is included. And we must ensure that we are walking in that honor towards the people that God has sent to us. Now, special emphasis has to be created, for Christ and his church, right? Which is the Father, and his family. The Father and his family. Special emphasis need to be thrown, right, on the Father and his family. So Christ and his church. Special emphasis need to be thrown on Christ and his church. So we must never treat sacred as secular or ordinary or common. don't treat what is holy, what God calls holy, as ordinary. You know, sometimes, for example, you come to the church, and then you see that someone has a very sharp sneakers, good trousers, nice chain, nice shirt, Rolex watch on the left hand side, and is chewing gum on top. Then you look on the left hand side, there's this innocent brother, barely can even afford a slipper. It's not smelling too good. Hair probably quite unkempt. And then two of them are walking into the church. And then you nicely and beautifully welcome the brother who has the Rolex and the shoes and the good trousers. Oh my God. And then this brother that looks quite wretched, you snub him. Or you sort of give the brother who is looking good a certain kind of a treatment. Like a very warm treatment. But when it comes to this other brother who doesn't look like he has anything, you treat him anyhow. Listen to me. Jesus will not be happy with you. I'll say this again. Jesus will not be happy with you. When you find yourself picking sides on people who sort of look honorable, and you despise the people who do not have any honorable look, he is not happy with you. And that will be treating what is sacred as common or ordinary. It will be treating what is sacred as common or ordinary. The very person that Jesus gave his life of is the one that you are trying to judge by their looks. That's very wrong. So from this day, you're going to see all men in Christ the same. The tall, the same. The short, the same. The looking rich, the same. In fact, you shouldn't have, if there was anybody you should have more honor for, it should be those that are less privileged than those that are even cannot afford anything for themselves. But you see people relating well to people who look good and who dress nice. When it comes to this innocent brother, it's like he's even struggling to keep a shoe. He can't really have a shoe. Then when he comes around, it's like you don't want him around, or you are not okay that he's around because you want to. No, it should never be in amongst our mess. If I see something like that happen to someone, I could cry. Yes, because that's the reason why Jesus Christ came. That's the reason why he came. And I said this the last time. I think, where did I say it? I said this to somebody or a group of people. I can't. Not too long from now. And I said that anywhere I go, BGLS, yeah, it is almost like I've always been attracted to the less privileged. Or they have been attracted to me. I don't know which is which. Yeah. But many of my friends are people without money. They are not well-to-do. They are my closest, one of my good friends in the Bible school was a cripple. Yeah. And he was my, even till now, I look at when I finish, even till now, we still talk. And many of my class, about 98% of them, I've not heard from them again. So when you see that somebody is not looking in a certain way, and you start to treat that person in a certain light, that's a problem. That's a very big problem. In fact, you should change. You should start changing your heart in that direction. I mean, away from that. So we must never treat what is sacred as secular. Don't do it. Don't see somebody who looks good and then you try to have a certain kind of esteem for them. You see, it's of the heart sometimes. Sometimes it will show in the action, but sometimes it's of the heart. It's like, oh, I esteem this person because this person looks good. Because this person, we heard that his dad has a lot of businesses. Because this person, we heard the mother is very rich. Yeah, we heard the mother is very rich. So that's why when you say, oh, it's good to see you, sir. The ladies, no, it's very wrong. God is not happy about having such a heart. Yeah, you treat everybody the same with love in Christ. We all are the same. When we come together, it's not a rich person and a poor person and a rich person. Or these people seem like middle class fellows. So we want to associate ourselves with middle class fellows. Or we want to be with middle class fellows. But this guy, we heard that, you know, he's very rich. So, hey, sir, it's been a while, sir. Hey, it's good to see you, pal. The guys too, you want to also associate yourself with people who have whatever, big phones. They drive whatever, cars. They have aeroplanes. You know, they sort of have a life that you think is good and a life that you are looking for. It's very wrong. It's very, very wrong. And I don't teach that. And God's word does not teach that. And I will never ensure that it happens in our midst. Yes. The poor should be free. They shouldn't feel like, I can't come to church because I don't have shirts. Even me or pastor, what shirt am I wearing? When you look at me, what shirt am I wearing? It's not the same shirt you are wearing. We are all wearing the same shirt now. You don't have shoes. How many shoes do I have? Me or pastor, how many shoes do I have? So make sure that you never treat somebody that Jesus Christ shed his blood for. You look at them and you're trying to size them materially. You're trying to think, oh, this person deserves a certain kind of a treatment. No. The one who is rich comes, you sit the same place everybody is sitting. The one who has one kobo, no kobo, comes, you sit there. We sit here, sit there. We don't have special seats for anybody. And we don't have special, arrangements for anybody. Everybody, we honor everybody because Jesus Christ honors everybody. Yes, we honor everybody. Everybody is honored. Whether you have, you don't have. Whether you come from a rich family, you don't come from. Whether you fly an airplane, you drive a car, you don't drive. Whether you ride a moto, you don't ride a moto. Whether you have an account at GBC that is full, you don't have. Whether you have. No, when we gather together, there should be nothing that separates us, or there should be nothing that should be identifiable in our midst that says that this one is honored. And this one is loved and cherished because of material things. And then the other is not loved and cherished because of material things. It's very wrong. It's very wrong. In fact, if you have the love of Christ, and I believe you do, I believe your best, so I know you do. If you have the love of Christ, when you see that a brother has a shirt, but you have about 12 different brands, and under those brands, you have 15 shirts under those brands, Why don't you pick at least like two of the best ones, not of the ones that are the armpit is becoming white. You just pick it and you just say, oh brother, I just decided to. No, why don't you just pick the two of the very good ones? You say, oh, I've been realizing that this shirt, you wear it every day, every day, every day, this shirt. Every day we see you in green. Every day, brother, in green. So, brother, I brought you these shirts to bless you. I just want you to know that I love you. And I think about you. and you give it to them silently. In fact, the reasons why you should endeavor to be financially stable is not because of yourself. No, it's because of the brethren. It's because that when you have, other brethren can have as well. When you have, other brethren can be beneficiaries. You alone, you have three different microwaves. How many foods can you warm in one, your whole life? How many foods can you warm? Or your work is to warm foods. You are just there the whole day. You are warming. Bing. You change the next one. Bing. Your work is to warm foods. Blender. You have three that you use. And then two are fresh ones in the cupboard. So you have five different blenders. Three, you use them. One for fruits, one for tomatoes and onions. Then another for ice kinky. Then you have two fresh ones in the cupboard. The ladies, you have 12 different shoes. 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Let me count it so you know that it's a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Some of you have 22, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. 22. How many are you? Body, soul, and spirit. You are even one. It's spirit and soul, they are living in a body. Yeah. Body, soul, and spirit. How many are? It's not only one. It's only one. At 22, your whole shoe rack is full. Whole shoe rack is full. The funny thing is, you wear just one or two frequently. That's the truth. It's one or two. Or three. You wear two frequently, one for some outings or some, just one or two. The rest are just there. Collecting dust and space. But you see this sister. It's like you realize it that this sister doesn't have shoes. Why don't you pick one or pick two? Whichever one you want. Pick the good ones. Don't pick the ones that are broken in their soul. The soul of a fish is chewed, so you just pick that one and just give it to her. No, you pick the best or the one that is good. And you say, sister, I just decided to surprise you today. And you bring it along and you touch it to him. So, I want you to have that heart of honor towards the believer. Towards the brethren. You have a car. When you are going, only you in front seat. Me, I'll sack you. I tell you, go to another church and go and drive alone. Leave her to Yarifa. Other people are walking to Yarifa. Nothing tells you. You don't see that you should pick a believer and send them home. Drive in empty, drive out empty. Nothing pricks your conscience that you should pick a believer home. At least we're not saying drive them to the house, but where you are going, nothing pricks you that say, help me. Oh, sit in the car and let me drive you. Where am I going? I'm going to Kaswa. There are people living at La Paz, people living at Medina, people living at Dan Soman. You pass all these people living at SEC, Makati, Kwashiman. You pass all these places. Kwashiman, you pass there. You pass La Paz. You pass Malam. You pass all these people. And you comfortably drive your car. Hey, are you born again? Yeah, I can't. Like some things, I get shocked. Yeah. I get shocked. Are you born again? Are you really born again? If you are born again, you can't do that. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't just be passing by people like they are walking. You give them hope. Charlie, tomorrow we go meet for Papa in prophetic service. Yeah, we go crush. Yeah, Charlie, yeah. Oh my God. Hey. No, it shouldn't be so. When you do that, you treat secular things, things that God Himself calls holy and separate, as common. You treat sacred things as common. So we must endeavor at all times to hold in high esteem Christ and His church. When we see a brother, say, that's a brother. We see a brother, say, that's a brother. That's a brother. We can bear up with him. We can hold him till he stands. We can help him. We can come together and help him till he stands. Oh, he doesn't have a place yet. Why not? My place is free. I'm the only one here. Why not? Let him come in. Oh, she doesn't. Oh, Pastor, my room is very free. She can come in. No. Pastor, hello, Pastor, please. Hello, Pastor, please. Pastor, please, we have someone here. He doesn't have. Meanwhile, your room is there. What do you want me to do? You must call and say, Pastor, there's someone here who doesn't have a place, but I just wanted to let you know my room is available. And if it's fine, I could let him come in. Why not? Why not? See, let me tell you something. God's church is built. That is, if everybody is taught to walk in love, there will be none amongst us who will lack any good thing. There will be none. Many times the reasons why it looks like there's a lot of pressure on 1, 2, 3, 4 individuals is because the rest are selfishly clinging onto the things that they can have that can help the church and the body. They are clinging onto it. Everything that comes, they don't want to help. They are not involved. The church should help. Pastors should help. Oh, this person will help. No, that's not how it is. If you can be able to help with a shoe, pastors shouldn't be able to help with a shoe. If you should be able to help with someone's place to sleep, we shouldn't pay for anybody's rent any longer. If you will come together and say, oh, this sister needs school fees, the weight will not be on one person. And the pastor has to do that. The pastor has to do that. Oh, let's just quiet. No, you must bring suggestions. Pastor, please, I'll be able to do this. I'll be able to help with this. That's what I'll be able to help with. That's the love in the church. See, when we do this, I'm telling you the gospel truth, and I'm not, I lie you not. Nobody's going to lack anything. Yes, nobody's going to lack anything. It's like lack will not be too close to us. And not because we have everything in this world and we have several millions and whatever. No, it's just because God creates his body to be self-sufficient. He knows how to circulate what he has in the same body. He knows how to circulate it. He knows how to circulate it. He knows how to provide for whoever it is that is in need. And one person is not just the one clinging onto what they have and seeming unconcerned. So you're going to learn to esteem his body. And how you esteem his body is by esteeming the people that make up the body. You're going to learn to esteem the people that make up the body. So it must be evident in all our dealings with fellow believers. Some of you are only nice towards the people you are attracted to. It's a very, very bad behavior. In Christ is not found. Remember, everybody should bend the sea. They should go and drink seawater. Even if you are not attracted to them, then you don't care about anybody. It's very wrong. You must begin to stop that attitude. And then begin to hold everyone in high esteem. High esteem. You are careful to always show love to anybody at any point in time. And some of you like to have cliques. We don't have that in the body of Christ. When we gather together, everybody speaks to everybody. It's not, he's my clique, he's my, we are in this group together, we are the ones that know. So begin to break cliques. Begin to break, oh, she walks with me. Begin to expand your knowing of the people that we have in the body. Don't just be there and be saying, oh, this is the person that I just know. Or is this the person I'm just entitled to? Or is this the person that I don't know? No, begin to step out. Say, what is your name? I want to know your name. And give out a nice smile. Yeah? Give out a nice smile. And flow with new people. Flow with entirely new people. Flow with entirely new people. That's how we're going to be a strong church. We're going to flow with entirely different people. We know how to flow with anybody. Can randomly text anybody. I've been seeing you around Pound, and I really want to talk to you. That's Pastor said we should text, so I've decided to text you today. So from today, this evening, don't let anybody text you and say, who is this? Who gave you my number? Who? Yes, this number is only my father and my mother and my pastor that has it. Who gave it to you? I should start lashing some people, you know. So here we don't have cliques. We don't have, she belongs to my clique. She's in my, no, everybody is in the clique, which is in Christ. So from today, the ladies text the guys, to text the ladies. Yeah? Yes. The ladies text your fellow ladies. The guys text your fellow guys. From today, it's open. No, whatever, I only know this person. No, I'm saying that know as many people as possible. So we're going to ensure that we hold in high esteem Christ and His church. Christ and His church. We're going to hold in high esteem. And don't in this place feel like, you know, I think He likes me. Hey, yeah, we like everybody. I like everybody. So break that mindset of he likes me or she thinks she likes me. That's what she's trying to say. No, we like everybody. We like everybody. We like everybody. Everybody likes somebody. In fact, everybody likes everybody. So here we like everybody. Don't say I like this person, but me and this person, we don't really meet like that. We don't. If I get to hear that thing, you who says you like somebody and you don't like somebody, you answer to me. Why you like somebody and you don't like somebody? Because I'm not going to allow those weeds, careless weeds, growing on this. And I'm not going to sit down and watch them. That's why I teach consistently about some of these things. So meet with everybody. Don't say I don't meet with this person. It's like pastor, it's like my spirit does not connect. It has to connect. If not, please find somewhere your spirit can connect with everybody. Here we are spirits, they connect with everybody. My spirit does not seem to connect with my spirit. Pastor, my spirit. Hey, we connect everybody. Here we connect. We don't have spirits not connecting. We connect. Yeah. Yes. So we connect with everybody. Know everybody's name. Possibly know their houses. Go and visit them. Yes. Go and know where they are. Go and know where they stay. So when they are not coming to church, you can ask, oh, why are you not coming? You can follow them to their homes. Connect with everybody. Connect with everybody. So we're going to make sure that we hold in high esteem Christ and His church. Don't have, you know, separations in your heart. Oh, this person, I think I want to be with this person. No. We don't have that, and we shouldn't have that. Break all those ideologies that are in the world. That's how the world is. The world, they are very some way. But in Christ, we are not like that. In Christ, we are not like that. If there is someone is struggling, help them. If you can, and it's, you know, help them. When you see that somebody needs help, help them. But like I said, it should not be without the information, you know, of your pastor, especially when it's very tangible. You know, when it's buying rice, can you see this? You wouldn't have to call me and say, Pastor, please, I'm buying rice, 10 CDs for brother so and so. Yeah, Pastor, please, 10 CDs. Oh, okay, Pastor, please, I should make it 12 CDs. Okay, Pastor, 12 CDs. Okay, Pastor, please, 12 CDs. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's quite insignificant. You see that? But maybe you're going to pay for something expensive, school fees you can comfortably pay, or you can pay whatever you can help. The person needs a certain kind of amount you can give. You have to make Pastor aware. Pastor, please, there's this person, I don't directly disciple them, but I think he met me or he approached me for that. I'm not saying give it to them and come and ask. I'm saying ask before you do it. And so, Pastor, please, she said she needed about like $3,500 because they said to her, sending her, she couldn't pay her school fees. So, Pastor, please, I just wanted you to know and that I'll be able to be of help. And I wanted to know if I will or if I can. Then I'll say, okay, you can, go ahead. Or I'll say, you can't. So bring the person to me. Let me speak to the person and know whatever it is that's happening. Now, why we do this is because, you know, that many funny things are happening in many places. You know, and people are duped and people are lied to and people are this. So we just want to make sure there are checks in place so that the monies can be used rightly and then they can bear forth the same fruit. Don't forget, we must endeavor to hold in high esteem Christ and His church. Right? Christ and His church. If you're going to buy someone a shoe, you shouldn't talk about it. If it's very significant, you know, let me not even stress very significant, because very significant is relative. If it's significant, you should be able to share. Yeah, so that everybody's aware, or I am aware that it is, or your teacher is aware, then he can also make both of you aware. I mean, both of you may come to make me aware of whatever it is that is going on. Yes. There was a time I remember somebody was in need of a phone or something, and then they called me. They said they wanted to buy a phone for this person, and I said, no, a phone is not, it's not important. Yeah. It's not important yet. Now, it could be different for another person. Another person, I could say, okay, go and buy them the phone, because I could have a lead on you buying them the phone. And sometimes I'm telling you, it's not important. Let's hold on. A phone is not a matter of life and death. So don't buy any phone. Yes. Pastor, please, they don't have a phone. Yes, they could stay without a phone for a while. And there are also times where it will come as a leading. Yeah, please go ahead. I think you should go ahead very much. I think it's something. If you are going to buy whatever something 14, and I'm like, no, okay, let's just buy some small, simple one for the use for a while, and then we can whatever plan ahead and know what to do. So we want to make sure all of these things are in check. All of these things are holding the brethren in high esteem. Right? Holding the brethren in high esteem. So you're going to learn to recognize that this is a brother. Oh, he's born again. That is my brother. And sometimes you must also give out some little tips. You get to realize that a person is born again, the person is this, and it's oh. You take the change. It's okay. Because the person is a believer. That's a brother. That's a brother. The world teaches that only when you are related by blood. No. We're related in Christ. So that is a brother. When you meet somebody outside, that is a brother. Be quick to identify who a brother is. Be quick to identify who a brother is. Those that are in the household of the faith, be quick to identify. And be quick to show him mercy as well to your brothers. Be quick to show him mercy. Don't plant seeds of wickedness in your brother's life. Be quick to show him mercy. So, this is me communicating to you. Honor in high esteem of what Christ has done for his church. That's recognize. You are putting honor on what Christ has put his honor on. If he honored his church enough to die, then I believe that you can do better. If he honored his church enough that he was going to die, I believe that you can do more. So this is a very vital Christian virtue, and it must be evident in all of our dealings with fellow believers. Our time is not, the time is up, but tomorrow I'll continue more on this with those in authority, bosses, and the natural parents. So we're going to narrow down on it. So learn to place honor on Christ and his church. Don't have groups, don't have cliques. Don't have my spirit clicks more with this. My spirit, I follow. Break that click. Even sometimes you might be tempted to have discipleship clicks. Discipleships are not supposed to be clicks. They are supposed to be areas of learning. That's all. Aside that, break away every kind of a supposed clique. Oh, this one is not my disciple, so we don't really have anything to talk about. Please no. Right? So you're going to do away with those things. Oh, he's not my teacher, so I don't really talk to him. No. You can talk to anybody, except that you know very well that you are learning from here, and then your pastor is together. But aside that, there are no restrictions. There are no restrictions. So you should be free to talk to anybody. Be free to approach any, laugh, talk to anybody. Talk about anything to anybody. There is not a clique system we deal with here. But when it comes to doctrinal issues, and it comes to personal issues on discipleship, then you know who to talk to, because you know that, okay, your teacher has been the one with you all this while, and he's the one who's able to, you know, keep up with everything else that is happening around you. Then you talk. But when it comes to flowing, you're supposed to flow with everybody. Everybody. You're supposed to flow with everybody. Laugh with everybody. Call everybody. Have holy gists with everybody. Have holy gists with everybody. Not like you have a click in it. Be close for a meeting. Hey, hey, hey. And then the other one. Hey, hey. Say, did you see? Say, I saw. What did you see? Hey, on my shoe. should be that. And they're trying to laugh at somebody. He thought he was an even looking guy. Hey, shoe. Meanwhile, the shoe is like a crocodile's mouth, and he's just walking around with it as though it's a very nice. And me too, I thought as much. Hey, so can't you see that his shoe is not really nice? No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. See, I'm not like that. So, maybe you never know. But I'm not like that. Yeah, you will never find me have a gist about somebody that is not good. Yeah, I'm not like that. When I went for one of my pastoral training services, and then I used to be close to this man, and then one time I was with him, and he said, Pascal, and I was like, yeah. And he said, it's really amazing, but you never talk about anybody. I don't have that time. Like, I don't discuss people. Yeah, I don't talk about anybody. I don't discuss, like, hey, did you see this person? Hey, this person has done this. Hey, did you see? Hey, he was trying to show that. Hey, this is Wupa. There are some Wupa. Hey, no, I don't do that at all. I don't do that. Talk about anybody, I don't. I don't. And if you try speaking anything against them in my presence, I say something good about them. Yes, I say something good about them. Maybe you try to say, this person can't worry. I think he's a good manager, obviously. And the way he manages things, I think is really good. And his managerial skills too. Wow. The last time he was speaking, don't put yourself into trouble by talking about evil. I mean, in talking about people. Don't do it. Get yourself off people that are lousy mouthed and they speak about everything that happens to people. Don't join them. Don't join them. If you can't say it in front of the person, don't say it when they are not there. Anything I'll say, I can say it to you. Yeah, I can say it to you. And it's not that I'll not even say it. I'll say it to you. If I have something to talk about it, I'll say it to you. And it's quite recently I learned confrontation. I learned it when I was working. I had to read a material from my Bible class on confrontation. And I said, no, now I'm going to confront people. So when you do something, I'm not going to say even in my heart that, you know, you should do. I'll just call you. Please, can I talk to you about one or two things? But confrontation in itself should be very led by the Spirit. If not, sometimes it could worsen the situation, right? Sometimes you just have to be patient about it. Sometimes you have to also confront. And confrontations are not wars. No, confrontations are thorough discussions that can bring us to a point so we can understand ourselves both. So we are not fighting when I confront. I'm just trying to make you see that if we did it this way, it was going to help. And if we handled it this way, it was going to help. And if we did it that way, we're going to help. So I'm very good at confrontation. Before I realize, I'll just call you, please. I mean, can we talk about this? I don't like, if I'm your boss, you see, I'll tell you that I don't like you doing this when you are there. Please don't do that again. And I'll hope if you can keep boundaries on this and that and that and that and that and that. I'm hoping, please, it's fine with you. And I hope that you also get to learn from it. Or sometimes you say, I've been wanting to tell you this thing. You know, let's sit down. Oh, just have a water. Oh, would you drink water? Oh, no, how about a drink? Oh, no, I'm drinking. Okay, so I just stop out. You know, you've been doing something like this. And honestly, it's been really getting to me. And I thought I should let you know so that we could keep the relationship, right? So we are doing that to save the brotherhood. Because the brotherhood is so important. Right? Yeah, the brotherhood is very important. Don't lose the brotherhood to petty fights and the devil being in our midst. Don't lose that. There's a third party. Get the third party out, and that's the devil. Don't get the second party out. Get the third party out. He's the one that causes confusion and every evil word. Get him out. So don't talk about people. Don't gossip. Yeah? Don't gossip about people. Yeah. So my friend said, ever since, and I was with him for almost a month. And he was shocked. Yeah, he was shocked because it's not like that. Everybody sees something and they talk about it when they are in their cliques or something. But me, you never find me do that. I don't talk about people. So be like that. Don't talk about anybody. Don't have discussions and gist. You sit and you gist on somebody's case for a very long time. If you want to say something, go and say it to them. And let me say this. We'll close with this. When somebody brings you an issue of a third party, I want you to practice this because it might take a while for you to get a grip on it. The first thing you should ask them is whether they have discussed it with the third party. I mean, with the second party. Because you are going to be like the third person involved. Ask them, have you spoken to her about it? They know. Okay, then I think you should find a way to maybe speak to her about it, if that's what you care to do or you care to know. So maybe you should find a way to speak to her about it. Or maybe you can speak to pastor about it so the pastor could call both of you and talk to you about it. Never listen to anything from one-sided planes. Never listen to it. Many times they are not entirely true. Many times. Because everybody feels like they are going to be right in the situation. So everybody, when they are presenting their case, present it as though they were not treated fairly. But when you listen to A and you listen to B together, you say, oh, okay, then A was rather wrong. I mean, B should be the one to even be hurt in this case. But now A is the one busy going around spreading lies. So don't keep anything under your mat. Be transparent about issues. Ask them if they've spoken to so-and-so about it. Yes, and don't join in to be somebody that gives backing sounds. I'll show him. Show him. Mamaga, show him. Papaga, show him. No, don't do that. Be somebody that brings respect. Be someone that honors people's relationship. Honor whatever it is that you share amongst the brethren. When you do this, we'll find our churches grow healthily. We'll find our numbers increase healthily because there'll be no conflict. And when there's somebody that comes in our midst and is trying to cause confusion, we can easily fish that person out. Like, hey, we don't take sides here. We don't say he has done this, he has done so. Now I take sides. We don't take sides here. Yeah, we open everything. It's transparent. Everybody can see. I'm not saying everybody can see as in everybody, but at least pastor is everybody. So once you come to tell me this and I tell pastor, that means everybody has seen. We don't hide things under. We are talking and we are making this and that. No, we don't hide it. I can assure you, anything that you've told anybody here that is truly loyal has come to me. Yes, without your notice or with your notice. If they are truly loyal, you've told them something, it will get to me. Yes. So you should also learn how to get things to me as well. Yes. Yes. So I'm a text away or a phone call away. Yes. And you don't need to consult your teacher before you get to me. I am neutral. I can be consulted at any point in time. At any point in time. At any point in time. Because I'm passed over you all. They are teaching you what I asked them to teach you. So I'm passed over you all. You should be able to call me. Like this and this and this and this. This is what's happening. Right? So we're going to make sure that this is very strong in our midst. We honor the brethren. We love. One jean, one trouser, one shirt. We love you. We can flow with you. We understand you. Don't let somebody enter. It's like you are looking at, hey, where's this person from? We don't do that here. We love everybody with clothes or without clothes, with good clothes or without good clothes. We are not stunned when we see someone who is dirty. We are not stunned. It's like, hey, now why is he? Because we have clean clothes. No, we look at you normally. That's okay. You are part of the fold. That's the most important thing. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that there's honor growing in our midst. We're growing to be more like you, to see men with the eyes that you see them, not in materials. We know to accord into it. You know, esteem the brethren higher than anything that we can see in the natural. We understand this. We know how to flow in it. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that honor is growing in our midst. There's going to be genuine love surging in our beings. And Lord, there's one reason why I teach this, is so that we can have an unprecedented move of the Spirit in our midst, as never seen before in our day. Let great things happen in our midst as we walk in love towards the brethren. Let us see you than we've ever seen you. And let us continually see you than we will ever see you in our lives. Let's have weights of glory. Let's have weights of your ambience surging in our midst. Because in our midst is going to be love. In our midst is going to be genuine honor for the brethren and genuine honor for you. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.